T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and thanks again for joining us here. Always a pleasure to have you on a Sunday night in St. Louis. Not as hot. Opened the windows over the weekend. It was a beautiful thing. I don't always get to do something like that, but I'll tell you that when I ever get the opportunity, I am going to do it. Spent some time over the weekend walking with the kid. I realized very quickly, walking long distances around the neighborhood with a kid that walks very slow. He's still young. He's 2.5 years old. You know what that means. So when you're 2.5 and you're walking, those little legs get tired so quick, especially after a walk to the park. So I ended up carrying him most of the way. Yeah. Well, but the nice thing is, man, he gets worn out so quick. Had a great weekend. Hopefully you had a great weekend too. Didn't get any ice cream this weekend though. I read somewhere that on Monday, Baskin-Robbins will be offering up, scoops for whatever price. So I got to double check that. I think there's some kind of sale going on. Any ice cream sale is a thumbs up for me. So something happened. I wanted to share this with you because I thought, nah, it was kind of dumb. Wasn't great, but it was dumb. I was watching a movie with my wife over the weekend called About Time. It's one of her favorite movies from 2013. Let me give you the synopsis. You ever heard of the movie Love Actually? From the same dude. What does that mean? It's a lady film. So the ladies love it. The guys are like, you know, it's not Die Hard. You know, it doesn't really have the Die Hard moments. You know, it doesn't even, it has the moments where the women go, why aren't you crying? That is so sad. So it has those moments. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. And you're just watching it and you're thinking, they're actors and it's not real. Oh. You know, it's not like, you know, it's not like the end of Rudy where he gets in there. Oh, that gets you every time, guys, but this is different. So let me give you the synopsis of the film. We were watching it, and the idea is there's a family tradition or a family secret. All the guys in the family can time travel on their own. They just go into a closet or a dark space. They clench their fists and they think about where they want to go somewhere in their timeline. And then they can go back to it wherever they want. Then they can travel back to where they were. They can't progress time, as in they can't go forward in time. They can only go back to the spot they were before. But they can always go back to wherever they were. Okay. So that's the idea. So his main objective is to find love. Aww. But things keep getting in his way. Like, doesn't he want to help his friends that could have ruined their lives? Doesn't he want to help family members that could ruin their lives? But would he put them first above family? Okay, so very female-oriented type of movie. And the movie, of course, gets to the point where, I don't know if I'm going to be ruining anything, so we'll just say just minor spoilers here. Or, guys, you can use this as an excuse. So whenever your loved one says, oh, let's watch About Time, you can say, nope, I got that Ryan Recker guy in Overnight America ruined that movie for me. Sorry, can't watch it. And then really inside you're thinking, note to self, thank Ryan Recker later. So, no, it's not that bad. I'm kidding. It's not that bad. It's okay. It's not the worst thing your wife will drag you to watch. So, okay, here's the minor spoiler. There's a part of the movie where they explain you can't go back in time before a major life event because then you can change that life event. For example, if you have a child, you can't go back in time before the child and change anything because they could alter your child, right? The fertilization, I don't want to get too technical because I'm not a scientist, but even the littlest things could change the fertilization, and then a different egg could be implanted, or not a different egg, but a different sperm or whatever. So in that idea, a different child could totally come out of you going back in time. So if you want to make sure you don't change your kids, you can't go back after a life event like that. Meaning there's a point where there's a major decision. Do I go back in time, and then, you know, I don't have a kid, or I accidentally have a different kid. Well, crazy is that? Or do I say goodbye forever? You know, so there's the thing. So it gets to the end, and my wife normally just starts crying at these types of movies, and she's watched this one probably a half a dozen times and has cried every time. Oh, just, honey, why aren't you crying? This is so sad. Oh, don't make fun of me, please. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, boy, this better be worth it. So we're watching it. We're doing our thing or whatever, and it gets to the end. She's not crying. I'm thinking to myself, oh, boy, something's wrong. She's not crying. So I look over at her, and I say, what's going on, honey? What's going on? She goes, well, you want to know what my favorite part of the movie is? I said, what? She goes, my favorite part of the movie is when the woman in the movie, so the wife, gets to sleep in, and the husband takes care of the kids in the morning. Wait, what? So all of the love story, all of this, all of that, she said her favorite part of the movie is at the very end where the wife gets to sleep in and the husband takes care of the kids. That was your favorite part of the movie? Yeah, I love that. I love sleeping in the morning when you take care of the kid. That's my favorite part of the movie. And I'm thinking to myself, we just watched 2 hours here. We watched a two-hour film, and your favorite part of the movie is when the character gets to sleep in? Oh, boy. I don't know if that's good or bad. What does that tell me? What is my wife trying to tell me there? You know, when I do the overnights, obviously, when I get home, it's early, early, early in the morning. So she always wakes up and takes care of the kid. Always. But on the weekends, like the Saturday morning, Sunday mornings, she gets to sleep and I take care of it. That's all she wants. So I feel like that's a huge negotiation, like, point for me. I feel like I can say, all right, honey, well, if we could do this instead of this, or maybe we don't buy this or hold off on this, save a little bit of money, or maybe if you don't go out and spend a bunch of money on clothes without telling me, maybe I'll wake up and I'll take care of the boy. Don't worry. I got this. Oh, really? Oh, that sounds so great. I don't need to go out and spend a bunch of money anymore. I don't know if your wife's like this either, guys, but I normally find out that she's bought new clothing when she wears it, and I've never seen it before. I'll say, oh, is that new? She's like, oh, you always know when I buy new clothes. And the problem is she's got so many clothes that she doesn't have enough space in any of the closets for it. So you think at a certain point you would just... No, I just don't understand women. I thought I wanted to share that from the weekend. All right. Hey, coming up in just 4 minutes. This is cool. There's a new Beatles song, kind of. So Paul McCartney and Ringo got together in the studio, and they played a song together, recorded it in February, and finally released it. I'm going to play you what is a new Beatles song, which is really cool. Horse Ride Gone Crazy here in St. Louis. I thought that was kind of interesting. Did you see that story? And TV sets are starting to disappear. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. We're going to look at that coming up, too. You're listening to Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Enjoying myself, because that's what we do here. Yeah, you hear this right. Guess what? There's a new Beatles song. Well, kind of. Yeah, I missed out on the great days of radio when there was new Beatles songs to play. I can't imagine being at a radio station and you get that single. Here you go. Here's the new Beatles single. You think to yourself, oh, wouldn't that be awesome? And you start playing it and you listen to the Beatles for the first time. And I know a whole new generation starts to appreciate someone like the Beatles. Why? Because they have some, you know, every once in a while, there's something new that comes out, like the remastered or another best of or Guitar Hero, Beatles or Rock Band or whatever it is. And then a new generation starts to get into it. And everyone has their own different Beatles song that they love and enjoy. And Ringo still goes out and tours with his all-star band. Paul McCartney still goes out and tours, sells out places, and people go absolutely bonkers for McCartney, mostly because, you know, the guy can play 3.5 hours, no problem. It's amazing the amount of energy this guy has still. Super nice dude from all accounts. Now, he went to go visit his buddy Ringo in the studio. It happened on February 19th. At least that's when they posted about it on social media. And they were starting to work on a new song called We're on the Road Again. And it just made its debut. The first musical collaboration between the former Beatles stars since 2010. Walk With You. I don't even remember that Walk With You. I'll have to look it up. I'm about to play for you now the new Beatles song. I'm going to call it the Beatles song, but it's really Ringo Starr song. Tell me what you think of it. Your honest opinion. Do you still like this sort of thing? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Here, let's take a listen. Actually, so McCartney contributes vocals to the track along with a surprisingly punk-styled bass, Rolling Stones described. The Eagles' Joe Walsh, Edgar Winner, and the song's co-writer, Toto Steve Lukar, also heard on the track. So we got Joe Walsh, Edgar Winter, Paul McCartney, and Ringo Starr, man. What's not to like about something like that? So are you digging this? New Beatles, wow.
We're on the road again.
You know, it kind of sounds like a lot of times when the old rock stars, they kind of make these songs, and at very few times have I actually listened back to an old rock star come out with a new song and really like it. A couple of examples, maybe I'll play after this. Get the idea for it. So that's Walk With You. Oh, no, that was the one from 2010. So that's We're On The Road Again. Are you digging that? There's a couple. Let me play one that I really liked. It was Joe Walsh in Analog Man. When Joe Walsh came out with this, I'm just going to give you a confession. I used to be a classic rock radio DJ. That's where I got my first job. We played a lot of Eagles. I am not an Eagles fan. I just think the Eagles may be one of the most overrated rock bands of all time. Tell me, it's going to be every time I was never allowed to say that at the classic rock station. I had to love the Eagles, man. Another round of Hotel California for the 3 millionth time. But when Joe Walsh went out and started to do his own music, man, it was so good. I liked Joe Walsh by himself. I thought him by himself was better than the Eagles. It's controversial, I know, but he came out with a song in 2012 that I actually liked. It's called The Analog Man. I don't know why I like this one, but it's just like, to me, it sounds like classic Joe Walsh. And I think, is he traveling with the All-Star Band right now, or was he just doing a couple of dates here and there? Man, I would love to see him live sometime. I don't know why I like that. Analog Man. What was another one? Johnny Cash came out with some really good stuff towards the end of his life. What were some ones? Are there any rockers that you really liked? Any rockers that way after their prime, came out with a song you really enjoyed? Like, here's Johnny Cash here. I think he came out with this one right before he died. And this has been used in like a million TV shows and movies, too.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend.
Man, this was really good, too. Johnny Cash's life. I mean, this was one of those songs. David Bowie came out with one. His last song before he died. I can't remember. It was released like right as he died. Okay, it was called Lazarus. I think this one was actually released literally like after the, like, was it supposed to wait, or did he record this knowing it was close towards the end of his life? Either way, it was kind of weird music video. David Bowie was a weird dude to begin with, but I'm always fascinated by the people that were really popular and then try to make a new song, and it's really difficult because everyone, when you go to a concert, like if you were to go see David Bowie live before he died, if you were to go see him and he started playing this, you'd be thinking to yourself, play Ziggy Stardust. Or, you know, you'd want to hear something you've heard a million times. No one wants to hear the new stuff. But, you know, when it comes to these rockers that have been doing this all their life and they get close towards the end, they all have a story and the one thing that that they want to tell. And it's highly and deeply personal to them.
I'm in heaven. I've got scars that can't be seen.
There he's laying in bed.
I've got drama, can't be stolen. Everybody knows me now.
You know, and that was before we get to the part that you would recognize, which you probably won't. But I like Bob Dylan's later stuff too. Every time Bob Dylan comes out with new stuff, I really enjoy it. He's just one of those guys that keeps putting out things. But I mean, for the most part, after I listen to some of these other ones, I think, well, I mean, Paul McCartney, Ringo, it's just okay. It's not like classic Beatles or anything. It's just okay. What has happened to me, man? Maybe I just stopped paying attention to music like I used to. I used to care about music. I just don't anymore. I feel like the only time I'm listening to music is to mock it. But I can't really mock the Beatles reunion there. Ringo and Paul, it's not that bad. It's just nothing special to it. Just nothing special. All right, so there's another story I want to get to. And, you know, that's not to say you might not love it. You can tweet at me, Ryan Recker, at Ryan Recker, and let me know if you've listened to it, if you really dug it. I mean, seriously, would you go out and buy that immediately? Would you, if you were to go see Ringo in concert, would you say, yes, please play that. I must hear it. Yeah, probably not. There was a story I had been on Saturday, and Fox 2 was, I'm going to play some audio from that, but there was a horse ride down by the arch that went nuts. And the witness account of this, it was caught on tape. I'm going to play you some audio from it. What happens when you're on a horse carriage and it goes crazy? I've always wanted to go on one of those around here. I've seen some like downtown St. Charles. There's horse rides all over the place here in the St. Louis area. And I thought, oh, that would be fun to go on it until I saw this news story. Now it scared me away. We're going to get to that coming up next. This is Overnight America on KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Have you ever been on one of those horse rides around the city? Would you recommend it? If I were to be out with my wife and my kid, we said, okay, let's do it. How much do they cost anyway? I've always wondered, how much does a horse ride around cost? Like, if you've ever been on one, share your experience with me. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'm just going to guess they probably cost about $30. I have no idea. Is that too high or too low? I don't know how much time you're on these things. I'm guessing you might go on a half-hour ride. So $30 isn't the craziest. I have no, well, maybe that's low. I have no idea. Well, there was a story on Thursday. It was a beautiful day. People were outside. People were walking, talking, you know, drinking their lattes. I guess that's what people do on nice days. But in downtown St. Louis, a ride was like a crazy train, man. I don't have Ozzy Osbourne ready to play. No, a ride was kind of like on a crazy train. So listen to the actual audio because witnesses caught this on camera.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. It's a baby. Oh, no. Why did you do that?
Could you imagine? Could you imagine you're just standing around, you're walking on a beautiful day, you're with your family, and you see an out-of-control horse running down St. Louis? What do you do? Well, this one family, it was just like that. They saw someone, and they were abandoning ship. The horse was going on a crazy train, man. The rails were off this thing. And the other family that was watching didn't exactly know what to do. Here, I'll let them describe what happened. This is from Fox 2.
Oh, my God! Oh, no!
Of course, the woman's recording it. And right around this point, that's when the guy that was with her, I don't know if husband or boyfriend or whatever, started walking into the street to try to, I don't know, help traffic. So they wouldn't run into this horse. And he describes it. He said he thought about walking in front of this horse. I mean, you're kind of crazy, right? The horse isn't going to stop for you. It's going to trample you, right?
What started out as a calm carriage ride on a nice summer day on St. Louis Riverfront quickly turned into chaos in a matter of seconds for an out-of-state woman and her family.
Oh, out-of-state, of course. Why is it always out-of-state? You know, when I hear a story like this, I immediately think, oh, I hope it's someone that lives around here that understands this isn't what happens all the time. Please, please. Because that's what you want. Out-of-state people coming in. Oh, tell me about your trip to St. Louis. Oh, it was terrible. I took my kid on a horse ride and the horse went nuts. I hate St. Louis, right? That's the type of people you don't want to happen. Oh, it's like you're a guest in your city. You want things to go great. Please, 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 no. Don't park in a weird area that you know is bad and get your car broken into. Please don't let that happen. Please don't get hit by an uninsured driver. Please, not while you're in St. Louis. Please hope you stayed in a nice place. Okay, so and you hope things like this don't happen. But it's exactly what happened for this out-of-state couple. Well, at least for the woman and her baby.
Lathan says his wife and their children saw the incident unfold. Okay. In fact, his wife caught it all on camera.
We seen the horse and carriage veer over in the wrong lane. And as it veered over in the wrong lane, we seen one of the passengers that was in the carriage jump out of the carriage with the baby. Mm. And as he did that, the rider of the horse was trying to get the horse to calm down.
That's when...
Wow. Could you imagine seeing that? What would you do? If you were on the sidewalk watching it just like he was, what would you do? Do you try to stop the horse? Well, when you have a kid involved, of course you want to do everything you can to help that kid, especially when they're defenseless. In this case, you know, a woman holding her kid is just as defenseless because she's trying to tend for the baby. How insane is this?
When Layton recalls seeing the horse taking off running with a woman and a little girl still in the carriage.
I got a bad back, but what I was going to do was try to run out in front of the horse, but he was galloping so hard, I said, no, I'm already messed up. It messed me up even worse.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what to do. I was telling my girl to quit screaming because the horse was getting started, you know. So he just went on by, and the lady jumped out. The little girl hit her head, and they got, scraped up pretty bad.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's pretty bad. So they show some videos. It looks like she has, like, a swollen knee. She's got some cuts that were bleeding, some scrapes in that sense. Looks like the girl was okay. There was no, you know, the paramedics showed up. I don't know if they were into the hospital or not. The story doesn't say. But, man, what a crazy thing. Is there a good strategy to stop a runaway horse? What are you supposed to do? You know, it's a horse, man. You can get trampled easy on something like that. And when a horse is just going at it like that, is there any stopping it? Where was the driver? So the driver of the horse was on the carriage trying to get this bad boy to stop? Wow. I'll tell you what, pretty crazy. You know, we have a new producer in Brian who's in the other room. So earlier today, he's learning how to run the board. And when it comes to radio, things get a little crazy. I'm just going to talk about this, Brian. Sorry, I'm going to call you out. So he was in here running this, and he's trying to figure things out. Some things he hasn't. This is his first time alone in a radio station trying to run the big show. And sometimes things go a little crazy when they go off to the side. You know, it gets very nerve-wracking and stressful.
And you don't know if you're supposed to push this button. You don't know if you're supposed to do this. Why is the computer acting this way? Oh, how am I going to do this? At least you weren't the new guy on the horse and carriage that dragged a woman and her baby in the back. At least that didn't happen to you. Because the first thing I thought of when I started the story, I said, oh, this is like our new guy in the room right now. You know, he might have pressed the wrong button or something else might have played when it shouldn't have. But, you know, you get back on track from something like that. At least, I'm guessing, this person that's sitting on the front of this carriage trying to navigate this horse, could you imagine that being his first day trying to get people around? You know, they put him in there, they sit him down, and they say, oh, don't worry, the horse knows what to do. You're basically just there in case they need to stop for an emergency. But the horse knows what to do. And they're like, okay, hops on up, gets in the carriage, and starts this horse, books it with the woman and her baby girl on it. That could have been you. You know, if you weren't in radio, you could have been the one on the back of the horse. Yeah. So what happens? What happens when you're watching this, just like this guy did?
He just went on by, and the lady jumped out. The little girl hit her head, and they got, scraped up pretty bad.
Meanwhile, the witness says he saw the horse continuing to run down the riverfront while its handler rushed to stop it from behind. He tells me the horse finally ran into a truck, putting an end to the pursuit.
How do you explain that one to your insurance company? So you call them up and you say, well, you're not going to believe this. I was in downtown St. Louis, and I got rear-ended by a horse. They gonna believe you? Can you say that again? What's that one insurance company? They run those commercials. The guy's going around. It's like, we are farmers. So the guy's, he goes through and he talks about the weird claims that they've paid out. Like, here's one where a hamster ran down a guy's leg and he crashed into someone. And like, here's one where, the car went airborne into the top of a house. And in this case, it's like, oh, here's one where a wild horse carrying a mom and her kid rear-ended a truck. How do you explain that one? I wonder what the deductible is on something like that. Is the horse insured? Does the horse actually carry insurance if they hurt something? Man, good thing they ran into the back of a truck. Could you imagine this horse running into anything else? Like if you're in one of those little tiny cars, those little clown cars, what are the ones that's like the Priuses? You can drive around. It sounds like an electric golf cart. You know, you hit the gas, and this is what you hear. It's like you can barely hear it. You don't even know the thing's on. And you can sneak up on someone. For me, I don't have great hearing, so you can sneak up on me. It would be no problem. You imagine a horse? It would literally hop over this thing, probably gallop right over the top of it, front legs through the front glass. And who knows what could have happened after something like that? Craziness. Back of a truck. I wonder how big of a truck that was. And if you're the driver of that truck, you got to feel pretty good about yourself because you have a great story. Like, yeah, man, you're not going to believe this. He's going around to all of his buddies at work tomorrow morning. He's, you know, it happened on Saturday night. He's like, oh, wait till I tell the guys. They're not going to believe it. Wait till I tell the guys. So get this. I was in downtown St. Louis, right by the arch, minding my own business. And next thing I know, big thump on the back of my tailgate. You know what it was? Rear-ended by a horse. And then all the guys at work go, you're lying. That doesn't happen. You're lying. He's like, no kidding. Did you watch the news? That was me. Now, that would be a great story. If I still had a pickup truck, because I had one at one time, I don't even know if I'd be mad. Like, if there's a giant dent in the back tailgate and it came with a story like a horse ran into it, I don't even know if I'd be mad. You know, I'd call the insurance agency, but if they said we don't cover it, I'd be like, oh, okay. Car's fine. I don't think a horse would engage the airbags, would they? Wouldn't that be a crazy thing? Yeah, I always like that at least gives me a good story moments. So it could be bad luck, but at least you have a good story out of it. That's exactly what I want to do. I want stories like this. Not that I am lobbying. I'm not lobbying to get this to happen to me. You know what? I'm watching NBC right now. Here's a side note. They're doing this is completely side note. Here's my ADHD. So they're doing a story on Channel 5, KMOV right now, the local news, and they're talking about phone carriers warning about this eclipse that's coming up, spotty service, the eclipse that's coming up in August. Or is it October? It's August. It's coming up here real soon. So they do a little map, and it shows where the best viewing location is. And, you know, of course, here in St. Louis, it kind of like divides St. Louis in half. So you almost have to be on the south side of St. Louis to catch the best glimpse of this solar eclipse. So it's doing the map, Mind you, we're here in St. Louis. It's going through, and it has different cities it's going to pass through. The thing passes through here in St. Louis, and on the map, it marks Kansas City and completely skips St. Louis and goes down to, like, Memphis or something like that. It just completely skips St. Louis. Wait, we're in St. Louis. You don't want to put them on the map? It's conspiring with the horse. Wow. All right, coming up. TV sets may be disappearing from American homes. This is kind of interesting. Not all that bad, I don't think. I'm going to get to that coming up. It's Overnight America, KMOX. See, this is another one of the Joe Walsh songs he did, I think, after the Eagles, right? Life of Illusion. This is... I am a fan of Joe Walsh, but man, I never got into the Eagles. I think this is so much better than the Eagles songs. I will give the Eagles credit. I think it has one of the best bass lines in Already Gone. Whenever you listen to that with your headphones on, you can hear the bass. I think that has one of the best bass lines. All right. Life of Illusion, again, Joe Walsh. Better outside the Eagles than in. I'm just saying. So TV sets are starting to disappear from American homes. They've been doing more and more studies. And the average amount of TV sets are leaving, and there's a few different reasons for it. The actual TV sets disappearing from homes. Number of TVs in homes, I'm getting this from Recode.net. Number of TV homes shrank to an average of 2.3 in 2015, down from an average 2.6 in 2009. So, dropping. So, on average, there's less TVs in the home. Best case scenario for that, put forward by the people who sell TV programming for a living, is that Americans are watching TV on devices that aren't TVs. Laptops, phones, tablets, things like that. So if you want to look at the flip side of the argument, lots of other things could happen. Well, more competition. When you have the main entry into the home being the television and you control that, that's great. When you start to have the main entry of entertainment through a computer or a one of those little streaming devices like a Roku device, something like that, or an Apple TV, all of a sudden, you don't control programming. So they can get anything they want. What does that mean for television? Well, lots more competition. Are they putting up the best stuff? I would argue that they're starting not to. Mostly because look at what some of the original series on Netflix are doing or Hulu. And there's all kinds of different program options. Even YouTube's putting out original programming. Facebook's going to be putting out original programming as well. So the competition is fierce here soon, where there's more than just television, standard television. Even look at what some news networks are doing. For the longest time, Glenn Beck, he had a big network. He couldn't get on a satellite provider. He was just providing it streaming. You know, Mark Levin, the radio show host, also doing something on streaming. Bill O'Reilly streaming his stuff. So there's a lot of news people that are getting in on the action, too. Well, what does that mean? I'm just going to give another plug for net neutrality because I feel it is so important. Yeah, I talk about net neutrality a lot. I get it. But I think it's important to let you know when there's less, let me tell you, net neutrality is important. You need to support it. Based on this study, with less people having televisions in the homes or less television in the homes, they're arguing that they're getting their entertainment from different places, okay? Now, if you're going to stream entertainment on a smartphone or a laptop or like an Apple TV or a Roku device, something you have in your like smart television or something that you may plug into a television, or some of you may be streaming stuff like on Xbox, your video game system stream content too. And if we find out too, the hours per week of people watching live television is dropping dramatically. So people are spending 3 hours less a week watching television. That's a pretty lower, spread out over the course of the trends, that's dropping down, man. It's not trending up, it's trending down. So why is net neutrality important? Well, if people are getting their entertainment on the internet, the access to the entertainment should be free to and equal for you to access it. Not that the internet's free, but the ability to get to whatever website that is. So imagine you have your internet service provider, whoever you pay for your internet is your internet service provider. Imagine you go to a website to go watch your television shows like a Netflix or a Hulu, which a lot of people do. Amazon Prime's a big one. They're coming out with great programming as well. And all of a sudden it says, well, you're unable to access that website. Please contact your service provider. And you're saying, wait, what? You're blocking a website? So you call up whoever you pay for the internet, and this is what they say to you. Well, because we couldn't come to an agreement with this website, we're no longer offering it to our people. And you're thinking to yourself, it's a website. What do you mean you can't offer it? This is what happens in a world where net neutrality goes away. Your cable provider or is probably the same as your internet provider. If your internet provider is someone where you're getting your cable through, like your television programming and things, and it becomes an indirect conflict of interest with their cable programming, because, hey, let's look at the trends. Less people are watching it on TV. More people are watching it on the internet. And when more people are on the internet, they're finding more things to watch that's not cable TV. So imagine if they say, well, we're losing money because people are spending less on cable. People are spending less watching TV. We need to find ways to get them to watch and buy into our cable packages again. So we're going to stop offering the things that are our competition. They could legally do that if net neutrality goes away. And guess what? They will. You can't trust cable companies and internet service providers to be working in your best interest as a customer, mostly because I don't think they care. They have the worst customer service of any service industry. So imagine that happens. Okay, what's the? That may seem like a long shot, and it may not be happening in the next 10 years or 5 years. I should say probably in 10 years, stuff like that could happen. But 5 years, probably not. What's most likely to happen is your cable prices will way increase. So another part of net neutrality is they can't do what I'm about to explain to you. Imagine net neutrality goes away, and this is what they say. This is the most likely scenario that'll probably happen within the first year of net neutrality going away. So you'll go and you'll notice your cable goes up, 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 and your internet prices go up, 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 and you wonder, wait a minute, what? So you go online to the website, and it shows you the different packages. They have that right now. They have, like, first tier, second tier, third tier, or whatever. Now, imagine they say, well, just like it cost extra to get HBO, it's going to cost you extra to use Netflix. We're going to charge you $5 extra a month so you can access Netflix. And you're thinking, wait, I buy the internet. Why are they blocking me from going to certain websites? Well, because they would be allowed to. And the most likely scenario is they're going to try to upcharge you to be able to access the same things you have access to right now. And they're going to blame everything. They're going to say, well, it's so we could upgrade our infrastructure. Or, well, it's because we can't afford to keep up if we allow people to access Netflix and they take up too much bandwidth. It's all hogwash and nonsense. It's all lies. Don't trust these cable companies, man. And I'm saying this because I am so skeptical of what's going to happen after net neutrality goes away, mostly because what we're seeing in the news is that a lot of these internet service providers are already starting to test the waters with things like this. It's called data throttling. Just do a quick Google search. Don't trust me on it. Go to any Google search, type in data throttling, and you'll find instances where a lot of different internet service providers are starting to do this. It's currently against the laws of net neutrality for them to do this. But the FCC wants to take that away. And you know what? They're not listening to the people. Just doesn't matter. They're not listening to the people. So this is my plea to you. Try to defend net neutrality whenever you get a chance. They did studies, and a wide majority of people support net neutrality. It's like 80% of all Americans want like the idea of net neutrality. They want net neutrality. However, the Republicans in Congress and the Republican-led FCC wants to do away with it. So the internet companies have full carte blanche to do whatever they want. And you know what? They're not going to be working in your best interest. I'm a huge critic of what they're doing here. All right, this is Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.